comes from Wales and presents Nell Alone, a detective novel by Jenny Melville, adapted for radio by the author.
Well now, I haven't kept you waiting, have I? And you haven't kept me waiting. Well, you never do. Then someone always brings you, so you don't have much choice. Come on in, then. There we are. You sit down there. That's it. Comfy? I'll just close the window. That's better. Keep out the city noise. Right. Well, let's make a start where we always make a start. You are James Glynn. You are 9 years old. And you don't want to talk. You've given up speech. It was difficult to learn. Quite an accomplishment. Your mother was pleased when you did, and you were an early talker. You said your first word at 8 months. It was mummy. But you haven't talked for over a year now. It's a long while. I think you can talk, James. I think you're talking away like anything down inside yourself, but you don't want us to hear. Shall I tell you what you're saying? You're saying, go away. But it's my job to help you start talking again. I know you don't want to be helped. Well, I can understand that.
What?
It's my job to understand. Yes, you made that point beautifully, James, just by looking. You're a clever boy. Do you call me Dr. Hilton when you talk about me inside? It would interest me to know. Call me Nell, if you like. I'd stand for that. Well, now we have to do one of our exercises. Look, I've got a sort of puzzle for you to put together. There. Silly, isn't it? No hurry, James. You take your time. I can wait. It doesn't matter if I'm late home. There's nothing waiting for me there that can't wait. Some people have to learn to wait. I'll go back when I'm ready.
It has a population of 800,000 and 100 murders a year.
Goodness, is that our city?
I think so, don't you?
It's not really your city, you're only a visitor.
I feel as though it's my city. It's adopted me. I always knew I didn't belong in that sleepy town back home. I used to think I was a changeling.
You look exactly like your father.
Never mind. Lots of clever children have that fantasy.
Oh, it's good sitting here in the garden in my little treehouse doing our homework.
We don't have a garden like this at home. Well, we have something. I guess you'd call it a yard. And my brothers kick it out. Oh, it's good my father came to spend his sabbatical year working with your father and we all got to stay with each other. I guess we're lucky to have scholars as fathers.
My father says that scientists are 50% technicians, 30% seers in a crystal ball, and only 20% scientists.
My father's all scientists. He makes up for your dad.
I'll kick you, Charlotte. Didn't know we had so many murders. I'm sure Miss Marshall didn't ask us to learn that for our homework.
I put that in.
100 murders a year.
You know, Amabel, I kind of like a murder.
My mother says you're liable to get what you want.
Well, you know, we live such sheltered lives. It's typical of us that here we are, sitting in a garden.
Speak for yourself. I know all about life. I read Lolita and Lady Chatterley, and when we were in Luxembourg last summer, I had a good look at Henry Miller in a bookshop.
What was it like?
Oh, not what I expected. Enthusiastic.
All right, you know everything. But we're only 15. Oh, we've read, but we've never done anything.
Well?
Amabel, you pretend. You are a poet, and we let you pretend. That's all right. But we have no mastery. You can't expect it at our age.
What about her? Do you think she knows all the things we don't know?
Miss Hilton? She's late tonight. It's a lovely name, isn't it? Dr. Nell Hilton. Goes well together. Yeah, she must know everything, a doctor.
She isn't married, though.
There are other types of knowledge, Amabel, although sex is what preoccupies you at the moment. Anyway, the answer's the same. Doctors just know everything. It's their job.
She's a children's doctor. She looks after maladjusted children. Like us.
No, push me or I'll fall out. Three nights, I surrender.
Back home, we say we're in Finn's territory when we want to quit. It's all the same. Oh, I love this little treehouse.
I built it when I was little. You can see everything from here and not be seen.
I've noticed that.
Oh, Mrs. Richer, for instance, in the house next door where Dr. Hilton lives, I watch her.
Oh, she's a weirdie, all right.
Oh, of course, a lot is deduction. See, when she twitches that curtain, then I know she's watching. She's watching now. And when that mirror catches the sun, I know she's on the telephone. She's on the telephone a lot.
Oh, she's an odd one. Still, it's a lot to see.
I'll tell you, I have a secret. I've got some opera glasses.
Oh, they're real pretty.
Yes. I found them in my mother's drawer. She never uses them. I pretend I'm at the opera sometimes. See, here I am, Cléo de Maurde, watching La Bohème at the Paris Opera. Bare shoulders, pearls.
Who is she?
A famous courtesan.
Well, let me try.
Mm-hmm.
Who can I be?
I can see the road.
Oh, there's Dr. Hilton. Oh, she's gorgeous, isn't she?
I hope I'm like that when I'm that age. Look, I'm practicing.
Oh, it's no good throwing out your chest like that. You haven't got enough. I don't believe you even wear a brassiere.
For the last 2 years...
Oh, I've never seen. Oh, hello, Dr. Hilton.
Hello. I didn't expect to see you two. I'm late this evening.
Oh, we know.
Do you? Yes, I suppose you do.
We've been watching. We wanted to see you specially. We've got something stored up to tell you.
Something good?
You say that as though you mean something bad. I suppose it is something bad.
I thought so. I've got used to the bad. Well?
It's nothing personal. There's something you ought to know about Mrs. Richer. We don't think you ought to trust her.
And you call that nothing personal?
She watches you.
She's lame, sick.
She gets about. Funny things go on when you're out. Up in your place, too.
But she can't use her legs.
She may have little wings then. We've seen signs of movement in your place. Curtains moving. You got a cat?
No.
Well, then, it's her. It must be. And there's more. She's always on the phone. We think she's a spy.
I'll think about it, girls.
Do you think she believed us?
She didn't say much.
Whether she believed us or not, it was a shock. She had to take it in.
Oh, Dr. Hilton, I didn't see you.
Really? I thought you were watching me.
Oh, but I'm often sitting here at the window at this time of the afternoon. I can see the road so well. It's quite a pleasure to me.
I suppose that's what I meant.
I do have very good eyesight, of course. I can't walk very much, but I can see. Everyone has some sharp faculty.
No doubt.
And my nose has always been very sensitive. He useful to me in my career as a cosmetician. The very basis of it, you might say. The creams I make have to smell good to millions all over the globe. You have to have a very special nose for that.
I didn't realize you had such a big market.
I haven't seen you much lately.
I've been busy.
I know.
But it'll be summer soon.
And then you won't be so busy.
I might go away later in the summer.
Oh, I wish I could get away.
Can't you?
Oh, of course I could. But there are so many places I can't get to. It's such a handicap not to being able to climb a stair.
But you do go away sometimes.
Oh, yes. But I have to make special arrangements. Isn't it strange to think it's easier for me to go to New York than to go up the stairs into my own house?
There's nothing much for you to see there.
Oh, I can imagine it all. I hear a door creak and I think, it's her closing the front door. I hear the water running and I think, she's taking a bath. Oh, I never feel lonely. I heard the telephone ringing in your place this morning. It rang and rang. No one answered it. Well, they couldn't, could they? You were out.
You seem to hear quite a lot. Not too much, I hope.
Oh, you're as quiet as a mouse.
I try to be. I shall try harder in future.
You heard about the dead body they found in that empty warehouse near the railway station?
Oh?
Unidentified, it said on the radio. I don't like to think of that. Imagine lying there dead and none of your friends knowing or caring.
Someone must know. I'll go up now, Mrs. Richier. I'm tired.
You want to look after yourself? A young woman alone in a big city. Who's going to help you if you fall ill or get into trouble?
Only I'm not alone in the city. Sit in the dark. I put the lamp where you could reach it. And you have the clock. It has a nice loud tick. Let me feel your pulse. Any pain today? All right, don't answer. This is a no-speaking day. You didn't answer the telephone when I rang.
You know, I can't. I can't move.
How's the right leg?
I don't know. I can twitch it. It has more life than the other. Not much, but some. But I can't walk on one leg. You know that?
I know you say so.
You'll have to believe it. The way I have to believe you're a doctor.
We have to believe a lot about each other.
Telephoning. You don't believe. Not in me. That was a test. You wanted to see if I answered. What would you have done if I had answered? Come running round to say, ah, you're a fraud. You can walk.
You ate your lunch, I see. Nothing wrong with your appetite, anyway.
I didn't think it was poisoned.
Don't count on anything. I'll cook supper. Would you like to get into the wheelchair and get a change of scene?
No. Oh, yes. Might as well.
Come on, then. There. Here, I'll wheel you into the kitchen.
How did you get me here? How did you get me?
You might remember someday.
If you don't stop me.
No, I'm trying to help. Don't quarrel with me. Besides, no outsider can control the memory. What influences it comes from inside.
You make it sound easy. It isn't easy. I'm here in your house, a man without a memory and without legs.
You have legs, muscles and nerves, too. You've just forgotten how to use them. You forget a little bit more each day.
Not the only thing I forget. Who am I? Am I your prisoner?
Would you like to be?
I don't know.
You're in the condition of being a prisoner. I'm not sure whose. Certainly not mine at the moment. Mm. Your own, maybe. How are your arms and wrists? Any weakness there? No? Let me hold your wrists. Now try to break away. There, you did.
Is that good?
It must be, mustn't it? You can use your arms, even if you've forgotten the use of your legs.
You keep saying that. I haven't forgotten how to use my leg. You shouldn't put it like that. I'm sick. Paralyzed.
Well, tell me what you can remember. Can you remember your name?
Black. Black Douglas. It's a sort of a joke, really.
Do you remember the joke?
No. I just remember about it being a joke. I'm always called Black Douglas.
I know.
How do you know my name?
I got your jacket back from the cleaners today.
Did they get the blood out?
There was no blood. I told you there was no blood.
I can't get it out of my mind. There was blood on the jacket.
There is no blood on the jacket.
That doesn't satisfy you.
No.
Let me put it this way. There is no blood now. Perhaps there was blood on it once.
How can I believe you?
You have to believe me. Come along, eat your supper.
You can keep your supper.
Good morning. Sleep well? It's a fine morning.
It's not. And it's raining.
How can you tell?
I can hear. The traffic sounds different. As if the road was wet. I can hear the rain.
You're getting to know the sounds.
And you'd sleep on this lousy sofa, you'd come to know all the sounds.
You sleep? You're looking for oblivion. You only think you don't sleep.
Make it a good day.
I can't control the day.
You control everything else.
Here's some coffee. I'm boiling an egg. Please eat. And don't throw it at the wall like you did last time. We won't get anywhere unless you get strength.
That's what I mean. That tone. You know. Always you know.
Not yet.
But you mean to. Don't think I don't sense that. There is something about me that you want.
Please eat your breakfast.
How did you get me?
Oh, perhaps I won you in a lottery.
Poor joke.
Perhaps you're a necessity of life. What every smart girl must have.
Is this a big flat?
No, not really. All the rooms are small.
All empty?
You don't think I've got one of you locked up in each, do you? I'm not making a collection.
I just wondered.
No, you're unique. My sole specimen.
That means you're prisoner. I've been thinking about it all night. I am a prisoner.
All right. Go then. Go on, go.
You know I can't.
Goodbye for the day, then. You have my office telephone number if anything desperate happens. And today I've left the telephone near you, quite within reach. And you have a stick to bang with.
You're a strange girl. Aren't you afraid I'll ring them up and tell them you're keeping me here?
I'll be interested if you do. I've been waiting to see you.
The police? The telephone, then? Anyone? I could ring. What do you want from me? What am I doing here? What are you doing to me?
After you, Nell.
Thank you, Jordan.
Ah, there's your first patient of the day sitting waiting.
I don't call them patients.
Customers, then. He hasn't spoken yet, I suppose.
Not a word.
Poor little beast.
Not at all. He may be lucky.
Nell, you terrify me. I don't know what side you're on.
There are no sides.
There are sides, Nell, and what's more, one day you'll find it out.
Now you're terrifying me. See you later.
Coffee in the canteen afterwards, right?
Hello. Come on, in we go. There, you sit here. Comfy? Now then, let's try again. Your name is James Glynn. You're 9 years old. Nod if you hear me say that. All right, don't nod. No one's going to make you nod, and you needn't talk. I'm not going to make you talk if you don't want to. I think you've got plenty to say. I think you may have too much. Shall we talk about that? No? In the end, it'll come to that. But I can wait. Words aren't everything. Already you're expressing something to me. You know that. I know two girls who talk to me all the time. I'd call them fluent talkers. But sometimes their tongues say one thing, and their eyes and their bodies another. They're playing a game. I suppose you'd call it seeing how far they can go. Too far, and they call Fainites. That's because they're still young and it's still a game. You're playing that game too, aren't you? Well, now, you recognize this, don't you? This is our game. Come on, James. You move the pieces around.
Mel, over here.
Well, I came to drink coffee. I haven't really got the time, but I came.
You're going to have to make time for ordinary living. Drinking, eating, talking. Or you're going to end up your own best patient.
I do plenty of the ordinary things.
Yesterday I asked you to go to the cinema with me. No. The day before that I said, what about lunch? No.
Mm. With coffee gets worse and worse. I'm all right. Don't worry about me.
I'm worrying about me. Nell, I love you.
I'm off love.
You might just as well say you're off breathing.
I'm off that too. Look what it brings you.
Living.
That's it.
We had something going once, I swear.
No.
It's since Louise, your sister, married and went away you've been like this.
I don't want to talk about Louise.
Watch it, Nell.
Look, am I so far wrong? I've got this child I'm treating, and he can't talk. Once he could talk. Now he's given up. He's a highly intelligent child of nine.
I presume he's got a good reason for giving up speech?
Of course. He's found something too hot for him to handle in words. And he's happier without it. I tell him I'm not going to make him talk, but of course I am. He knows it too. I'm going to force him to join up with the human race again.
You see, now, it's like I said, you do take sides. You and the rest of the human race, those are the sides.
It's my job to get this boy talking again. He's got a reason for opting out, but I'm going to persuade him back into the world again. In a way, I want to. It would give me a sense of achievement, but I think it may be quite immoral. Perhaps I should leave him alone. It's quite a decision.
You're not God, Nell.
So far, I haven't had much success. Perhaps I could do it with drugs. Dig into his memory and make him give up what he refuses to say.
I know those drugs. They could be dangerous.
Yes.
You'd never do it to a child.
With a man, I might. Say I had a man with memories he wanted to close up in himself. Why shouldn't I experiment with him?
Because it's not good medicine, that's why, Nell.
But supposing he had something I desperately wanted to know.
I wish you'd get on with that article I want you to write. Remember, I edit the monthly bulletin for this institute, and we are a voluntary organization. If our funds dry up, if we don't produce something for people to read...
I don't believe the people who donate money to us read about our work. They're industrialists, rich people, not scientists.
They put it on the desk or on the coffee table, and it looks good. People can see it. Gives them a decent feeling that their money has had a result.
You'll have to wait.
You're so slow now. Oh, damn, I've upset the coffee. Look, I'm sorry. Is it on you? Wait. Don't go. There's a lot of activity about the place today, have you noticed?
Oh? Noisier than usual, maybe?
More than that. We've got the police in now. Body was found in a warehouse round the corner. I've been talking to a policeman.
What, here?
Well, he's over there. Oh, he's coming this way. Now, before he comes, about Louise...
Dr. Hilton. Inspector Abel, City Police. I'm sorry to interrupt.
Excuse me, I'm just going. See you later, Nell.
I'm making a few inquiries.
About the body that was found? I don't suppose I can help you.
Let me be the charge of that. We're trying to establish the identity of the body. We don't have anything yet.
Nothing at all?
Well, say nothing. There's always something, a scrap of paper, a piece of cloth. Sometimes just the way the body is lying, the look on its face counts for something.
You don't talk like a policeman.
In this city, we're anxious for policemen to make a good impression.
I don't know why you think we can help you here in the Institute. We're only around from 9 until 5, and then the building's empty. Weekends, too. Most of my colleagues don't belong in this district. Even our patients come from all over the country. Outside it sometimes. I had a boy from Cuba last week.
You employ workmen, cleaners.
That's true.
And you live near here yourself, Dr. Hilton.
I don't know of anyone, monsieur.
You sure?
There's nothing I can tell you.
But you've been to see the police about a missing person.
That touches something precious and private to me. I won't talk about it.
Your sister, Mrs. Louise Lang? You reported your sister missing.
And you didn't help me.
How could we? You said yourself she was with her husband. In what sense was she missing?
She was missing to me.
Had you quarreled?
No.
Perhaps I didn't tell you quite all the truth about the body we found. I said perhaps there was a scrap of paper. There was a scrap of paper. It had writing on it. It had been part of a letter. It began, "Dear Dr. Hilton."
Another day over, and what a day. Still, we've had days like that before and lived through them. Are you going straight home now? Can I give you a lift?
I really prefer the bus.
Thanks.
I have some shopping to do. Food for supper, that sort of thing.
No. Eat with me tonight.
No.
Thanks again.
I'm tired, Jordan. Don't be fierce.
You mustn't believe everything you hear.
What?
You've been told I'm a nice, quiet, long-suffering man who'll always take no for an answer. Don't you believe it? I can get angry, too. I can shout.
Oh, Jordan.
And now I know what you're going to say. You're going to say, Jordan, you always use my name a lot when you're being particularly evasive. Do you know that? Jordan, you're going to say, don't be bitter. You've got me here, you're going to say, what there is of me. And I've got a lot on my mind. And you have got a lot on your mind.
I'm not worrying about that letter, if that's what you mean. I can think of hundreds of reasons why that letter was there.
Oh, hundreds. Well, I can think of one right now.
What's that?
That it was a letter written to you by the person who was found dead with it.
Dear Dr. Hilton, it means nothing.
It means you, Nell.
I didn't recognize the writing. The policeman Abel showed me a copy. I didn't know it.
Didn't want to know it.
That's not so.
You made up your mind.
I didn't know the dead man.
What a man.
What did you say?
You haven't heard. They're saying now it was a woman. And pregnant. No? Wait!
Waiting for me?
I never do anything else but wait for you and listen to the clock. What else is there for me to do?
I thought you might have been trying some exercise.
No.
You won't do yourself any good attempting too much while I'm out. I'm the doctor. I'm in charge of your case.
I wish you wouldn't talk to me like that.
I don't know what's wrong with the way I talk to you.
It's what you don't say. It's your manner. You're laughing at me. I think you're experimenting with me.
Well, not with your legs at all events. They're getting better, aren't they?
With my mind. My mind.
Let me flex your legs. There, you feel that more, don't you?
Like pins and needles.
Yes, as I thought. Life is slowly returning to them. I'm giving you confidence.
I don't know what you're giving me, or whether you're giving or taking.
Oh, I shall take when the time comes. I'll get your supper.
Don't go. There's something about you I like, even when you frighten me.
That's not uncommon.
Not nearly so uncommon as you probably think.
There you go, talking like God again. As if you and I lived in different worlds. And yet I do feel so close to you somehow. So terribly close.
Oh, we must be closer still if I'm to do you any good.
Is that what you want to do to me? Good.
Of course.
You have made a mess here today. We've been having a party.
Hmm? It looks tidy enough to me.
I don't think you're very observant. I know exactly where I left things. I can tell what's been moved.
I believe you check on purpose.
Well, of course I like to have some idea of what you do when I'm out.
I do draw a few breaths, you don't count.
Now, don't be so childish. I told you before, antagonism is no use. Now I'm going to get your supper. Mm. After supper, I've got some notes to write up.
About me?
I have other cases.
So I'm a case.
Everyone's a case to someone.
That depends on which side of the typewriter you are.
I hope my typing doesn't annoy you.
Hmm. Bang, bang, that's my name on the paper. Bang, bang, that's a bit more of me, written down, for the world to read. Well, how would you like it?
Here you are. Just a little light supper on your knees. Mm. So do be careful.
I'll be in a book, I suppose. I'm not myself.
Aren't you?
I wouldn't be like this if you weren't drugging me.
You might be. I wouldn't count on it if I were you.
Mm. Well, this soup's good.
From a tin. But I doctored it a little.
What do you mean?
With sherry. I'm not always poisoning you, you know.
Mm. I've read all the books you've left me. I need something else. Not crime stories. Please. They're giving me nightmares. You
must tell me about your dreams sometime.
That's one of your loaded remarks. My dreams are my own business. I'm telling you that. Now you remember it. Get me some non-fiction books. I want to know what the world's about.
Now, that's an interesting reaction. After all, you do need exactly that, I can see. You've lost the world. Yes, I'll get you some biographies. You might find yourself remembering your own life.
Hmm.
By getting this desire to read non-fiction, you're subconsciously expressing a desire to remember your life. So you must be recovering.
Do you think so?
Oh, yes, certainly. One must think so. Excuse me if I work. I can talk while I type. I heard of a real-life crime today.
Hmm?
Dead body of a woman found near where I work. Strangled. Her killer tried to burn her body. She was pregnant.
That would be the reason. Do stop typing.
The reason she was killed? I suppose so.
You ever had a child?
No, I haven't any kin. Only a sister.
Where's she?
Away.
I'm learning about you. You're almost as lost as I am.
But I found you.
Yes. Is that the way it is?
Tell me, what particularly worries you about crime stories?
Everything.
What sort of crime alarms you most?
Shapeless crime. Well, one thing grows into another, and there's no stopping it growing. People who don't really know what they're doing.
Who don't want to know, perhaps. But who have to find out in the end. And what sort of people connected with crime alarm you most?
Men, women, and children. Men, women, and children. Simple as that.
I wonder what you really mean by that.
You tell me.
Perhaps one day I will.
Who lives downstairs?
My landlady, Mrs. Ritchie.
Another woman.
Want to get in touch with her? You have your stick. I can see your hands.
Hmm?
Rows of little blisters on the palms. Yes, I see them. You've been dragging yourself about with them. Did you try to make her hear? Disloyal, wasn't it? And there's a strange thing for me to say.
I love you, Nell. That's a strange thing for me to say. now I've said it aloud. I know it's true. I don't know. Perhaps your typing gets into my head. Have you been putting all that down?
No.
I feel sleepy. You're hypnotizing me with that noise.
He's gone to sleep. Well, that's a common enough reaction. He's going through something. People have slept for a moment under torture. Look at your hands. All those little blisters. What have you been preparing yourself for?
Hello, girls. Up there in your tree like little birds again.
Hello, Mrs. Richard.
Watching the house. Got your little spyglass?
It's a nice night.
Something bad happens to girls who sit in trees. They get beaks and claws.
Hello there.
You too. Whenever I sit at my window, you girls are up there so close to my window, you could fall into my lap. What's it for?
We like the fresh air.
You get plenty. It must give you girls an appetite.
Oh, we're on a diet.
We both are.
Blood, marrow, bones, and liver, I shouldn't wonder.
Eh?
Couple of young vampires.
We're just interested in people.
All people your age are just naturally hungry to eat people up.
Oh, it's not wrong. We love Dr. Hilton.
She'll pay for it.
What are you doing?
If you haven't managed to see, then I don't think I'll tell you.
It looks only from here, of course.
Oh, yes, people lied about it.
As if you were collecting clothes and papers and packing up.
Are you going away?
I might be. I'm going to tell Dr. Hilton she must leave anyway. I need the top floor empty. Going, girls?
Going to eat supper and then go to bed.
Good night and sweet dreams.
Dr. Jordan?
Hmm?
Abel. Sergeant Abel.
Oh, yes, I remember.
Can I join you?
I'm eating in a hurry.
You usually eat here. Not your sort of place, is it? Oh, for me, it's near my office.
Well, I use it sometimes when I'm alone.
And when you don't mind much what you eat.
It's not so bad. It's on my way home.
I want to talk to you about Dr. Hilton.
I can't talk to you about Nell.
I didn't say you had to talk. I said I wanted to talk. Dr. Hilton looks to me like someone who ought to be talked about.
She's never ill.
You know, I didn't mean it that way. She looks different from you and me, Jordan. She's a girl in trouble.
And you want to help?
I have an investigation. I have to find out if her trouble matches up with my trouble. Perhaps it does, perhaps it doesn't. I have to ask questions. And I have to think about the person I'm getting the answers from.
You don't talk like an ordinary policeman.
Well, I'm married and I have a child and a mortgage. And a wife who likes to know when I'm going to be home at night so she knows what to cook.
Look, I wish you'd leave Nell alone.
Look, I'm not in charge of the investigation. I'm only one of a number of people working on it.
Well, you're the one we've met.
You might meet others.
You seem important to us.
I don't call the tune.
I'm going to marry Dr. Hilton.
Oh, are you? Are you?
She doesn't know yet.
Well, it'd be as well to tell her. You know she came to us about her sister. Not me personally, of course. Dr. Hilton wanted us to try and find her sister. She went to the head office of the Highwood Insurance Company, too. Her sister carried some insurance with her. Yes, she made quite a scene. They didn't know what to make of her. She's not easy to understand, is she?
Nell's good.
Good, but not easy. There are plenty of people you could say that about. And they make life hard for the rest of us.
She loves Louise. We all do. I do myself. There's something about Louise. She can be very stupid, though. Obstinate, too. And unlucky. Sometimes it's the same thing.
So you knew Mrs. Lang, too?
I did know her before her marriage. Not really after. If you knew Nell, you knew her sister. They used to be very close. But Nell alone is not the same as Nell with her sister.
I can guarantee that.
No one lives alone. If we talk as if they do, as if a person really exists by himself, we're only pretending. What makes us what we are is our relationship with other people. And we change as we go from person to person. It's like a dance.
Only rougher.
Sometimes.
It is but the time the dance gets to me.
Then you're part of it. You're helping it to happen. What happens in a group of people affects all its members. It's a process. It doesn't have to be noticed or observed. See, Nell with Louise is not as Nell without Louise.
Uh-huh.
This affects Louise, too. Louise with husband is different from Louise with Nell. And this will explain why she's gone off and not written to Nell.
Hmm. We got the impression of a quarrel.
Oh, it would look like a quarrel to you. You could call it that. Nell's caught in a process.
Mm. Putting it plainly, she's jealous of Louise with husband?
Well, that's putting it too plainly.
I think we really see eye to eye a lot more than you admit, Dr. Jordan. Thanks for all you've told me.
I didn't mean to tell you anything.
Oh, yes, you did. Don't forget, Dr. Jordan alone with Abel is not the same as Jordan alone with Nell.
You're clever.
Well, we'll meet again, shall we? Perhaps here. I'll telephone.
Charlotte. Charlie, can you hear me? Are you awake?
Have you been asleep? I heard you get up. There's all of 3 feet between your bed and mine. Oh, this room's hot. I need a drink.
Come to the window and talk to me. Do you smell anything?
No.
What a nose.
I have hay fever.
Can you see what Mrs. Richard's doing? She's in the big bay window. The light's on. Now she's moving back.
Well, what's she doing?
She's burning something. Must be burning something in her grate.
Oh, I can't see. I haven't got eyesight like yours. I'm an old, blind, hay fever-ridden hack, and I can't see. I don't believe you can see either. You're imagining it.
Why is she doing it?
She's cold.
Charlotte, it's summer. It's hot.
Are you sure you aren't imagining it? Oh, I'm tired. I'm going back to bed.
Charlotte, you don't think she's got a body down there? Charlotte, supposing she really is a witch?
This is a strange house. That old woman downstairs and you upstairs. When I woke up, you were holding my hand.
What do you know about her?
Nothing, really. Only what I've heard. Noises from below. But I seem to see her. She's short and sturdily built.
Plump and full of rheumatism.
Sort of motherly.
Oh, I've never seen that side of her.
It's there, though. She's full of mothering.
Now you're way off true. Nothing soft about her.
Mothering's not soft. It's hard. You can beat your head on it. Oh, she's a strong woman.
All that from the sound of her moving around.
It's a lot, isn't it?
It's too much. I think you've seen her.
No, but I think I've wanted to.
Oh, we shall get to the bottom of you one day.
I'd like to get to the bottom of you.
It might come to the same thing. We may be much closer related than you think.
I'm not married to you, am I?
No. But how interesting you should think that you might be.
still love me?
I don't know.
The emotion comes and goes. I understand that.
Damn you for understanding.
Oh, don't think the ebb and flow means the love isn't real. It may well be. It may be proof of its strength.
It's hotting up.
What is?
The atmosphere in this flat. You're moving in for the kill.
There must always be an end.
An end?
Oh, yes. There's a closing date to this competition. Do you think I want you here forever?
I'm trying to find out what you do want.
You said you loved me.
That doesn't help me.
But is it true?
That's your doorbell ringing.
Let it ring. Now tell me about loving me. Haven't I the right to know?
I think I must have loved you a long time.
I think you have.
Have I said something important?
Well, in a sense, everything you say is important. But I won't tease you. Yes, you have said something very important.
Why should I love you and feel frightened of you at the same time?
It's a logical reason for everything. And that's what we have to discuss. Let me begin by telling you how I got you.
Jordan?
Speaking.
Abel here. I got your message that you wanted me to ring. Sorry it's so late.
I'm awake. I have something to tell you.
We both know that.
Louise Lang came to see me before she went away. I've never told anyone this.
Pretend you're not telling me.
She was upset. She came to say goodbye. Come to think of it, I never really said it either. She said she had to go and take her husband, because I don't think I'll keep my husband if I don't, she said.
She was jealous of her sister?
I don't know where the jealousy lay.
Oh, jealousy doesn't just lie. It springs out with a knife in its teeth.
There were bruises on Louise's throat. I'm leaving Nell alone, she said. It's better for us both.
She's been too much alone, I think.
I think the body you found is the body of Louise Lang.
I think that, too.
I tried to get to see Nell. I went round there tonight, but I couldn't get in. No one answers the bell. Look, I had to tell you. I'm frightened.
Don't worry. We can do something. I'll send a uniformed man round to have a look. Leave it to me.
You put me in a cage.
No, you walked here. I opened the door and let you in. You were glad to get in, I may say.
That's a lie.
It is not a lie.
You said you'd tell me how I got here.
Give me time.
I believe you've doped me.
Only with food and love and security.
Love and security? Is that what it's been? It's been murder.
Now that's a word I like to hear.
I believe you have drugged me.
You are in a state of shock. You've been in it for some time. For quite as long as I've had you.
I hate the way you talk of me, as if I was a pet, a cat or a dog.
I don't think of you as a pet. No, I think of you as a serious and interesting project.
I feel sick.
Yes, it is telling on you. Now, put your head down. Is that better? I'll get you a drink.
I won't drink it.
Only water. Do you think I mean to murder you? Because that would be so simple for me. The truth is much more complex than that. You don't remember much about coming here to me.
No.
Here you are. And you remember even less about your life before.
Was there a life before? I don't think I existed.
We'll soon remedy that. I'll give you an existence. No, don't try to move away. Perhaps you don't really want a life of your own.
I don't think I want one you give me.
Why do you think your legs are paralyzed so that you have to sit here?
I suppose I have you to thank for that.
Well, there's plenty to thank everybody for. But is it my doing?
Do you really think so? There's nothing wrong with your body.
You told me I was ill.
You're suffering from hysteria. The cause was probably a shock.
I don't remember a shock.
You don't want to remember. But I can help you.
No.
Now, where do your memories begin?
I remember you helping me up the stairs.
Yes. You could still walk a little then.
I'd forgotten that until this minute. My stay here doesn't seem to have done me much good, does it?
Your condition has deteriorated to some extent.
With your help?
No, you can take my word for it. I've not aggravated your paralysis, because it was hardly necessary. You were laming yourself as fast as you could go. Don't bang! In fact, I prevented the process going too far. I've kept up the tone of your muscles. I don't want you on my hands forever, you know. That's not my purpose at all.
How did I get here?
What's that? A tapping. Now it stopped.
I suppose I did do something. I was somebody. I didn't just sit around waiting for you to discover me.
I don't know exactly what you did. I don't think you did anything very much, to tell you the truth.
But I did exist.
Oh, I didn't invent you. You have a past and a history all your own. You may even have a future. We met in a hospital.
I was sick. I knew it.
You were standing in the outpatients clinic at the city hospital. You'd been complaining of lameness in your leg.
Yes.
It was only one leg then, and they told you there was nothing they could find wrong.
Yeah.
I heard them say this. But they asked for your address. And you gave them your address. Number 5 Acres Road, you said. And I thought, but that's my address.
Well, there must be hundreds of number 5 Acres Road. Oh, I live in one of the others.
If so, you've had very bad luck.
It's dark. It's dark in here. I can't see.
You'll see everything very soon. When I came back home that evening, I found you wandering about outside. You seemed surprised to see me. I thought your manner rather odd. You were very lame by then. Your lameness seemed to increase with every minute. This interested me. So I asked you in. You see, it wasn't only your lameness. I thought I knew your face. Give me your hand. Yes, your pulse is faster. Are you beginning to remember something?
No.
Just a little. Do you remember who you are?
No, no.
Your name isn't Black Douglas, do you know that?
No.
I see, I shall have to help you remember. Technically, I have the means.
Technically? You make me not human. Where are you going?
Just to get the means. And after that, the answer.
What are you doing?
Wait and see. The trouble with this stuff is that you have to know the right questions to put. I can get anything I want out of you, provided I ask the right questions. You can only tell me the truth, but you won't volunteer it. Let's call it a game. I was telling a little boy about a game like this only this morning. It can be a mighty unpleasant game. Now, here we go. Harmless, colourless looking liquid, isn't it? Don't worry, it won't hurt you. Anyway, your heart's as strong as a bull's. I might break it. I hope I do, frankly, but I won't stop
you. You think I'm going to sit here and let you stick that into me?
You don't have very much choice. Ah, there.
I thought I loved you. I didn't understand you, but I thought of you as good.
Goodness has so many faces. I could be wearing one now.
In a little while, I'll show you another face I want you to remember. Not yet, though. Let the drug have a chance to work.
I'm thirsty.
Mouth getting dry? Good. Drink some of that water.
It's getting hot in here.
You feel it, do you? I open the window. There. That better? It's a lovely night. Full of peace.
God, oh, Basil. You're mad.
Those girls, Amabel and Charlotte, aren't asleep yet. They ought to be. I can see a light in their window. Ah, now it's gone out. You don't know them?
I've seen them from the window. I tried to call them once. The fat one looked up.
Ah, Amabel. She's such a powerful, imaginative creature. Sometimes I think we're just characters in one of her dreams. Do you think we are?
Now I know you are mad.
Let me touch. No, that was solid. We are quite real.
That hurt.
I was puzzled at first by your condition. I wondered myself if you were drugged, but I soon saw that this wasn't the case. Your relative indifference to your lameness gave me the clue. Hasn't it struck you yourself that you're not deeply disturbed by it?
How do you know what my feelings are?
Not exceptional, you know. There have been plenty of cases like you, and I knew what to look for.
So?
You're suffering from hysteria. Hysterics suffer what seem to be organic troubles. Paralysis, loss of memory. You show two symptoms. You can't walk, and you won't remember.
If you know so much, tell me what caused it, then.
A shock. You've converted some terror into a set of physical symptoms. You prefer your incapacity to your memories. Let me feel your pulse.
The drug's not working. I don't feel any different.
Give it time.
If I can remember the shock, will I be able to use my legs again?
Probably.
Then it would be worth it.
Probably. It depends.
Depends?
On what you have to remember.
It's coming now, I suppose. The crunch. What do you want?
Look, here's a photograph. Do you recognize the face?
I can't get it into focus. It's a girl, young woman.
Not so very young. Try again.
It's you.
Not me.
Looks like you.
Who is it? Don't cry. Who is it?
I suppose it must be my wife.
We've got there. Yes, she was your wife and my sister. Hello, brother-in-law.
Charlotte, I have something to tell you. In confidence. Night time is the time for telling things. There's a boy around here. When he was younger, he was much smaller and weaker than me, and I despised him. I saw him the other day. Now he's big, taller than me. And I liked him.
How long have I been asleep?
I don't know. I didn't know you were asleep, but you answered when I spoke to you. I've been lying here thinking. All that stuff about Mrs. Ritchie, all the things I make up, they're not true. When I thought about that boy, I knew I was growing up. Suddenly all the imagining melted away. I shan't go to the treehouse again.
What? No more spying on Mrs. Ritchie?
No, I've given it up. But there is something wrong next door. Now I know it.
You haven't given anything up. It's just one story for another.
No. You see, they never sleep over there. Or not enough. Someone's typing over there.
No.
You lie here and listen.
I'm going to stop that typing.
So you're on your legs again. I told you your legs would recover strength, as you remembered.
I don't feel strong.
You must remember more.
More memories, more strength. It's like being a vampire.
Nothing can stop the process now.
I won't go on.
You're exploding with memories. I've only got to ask. Look at the picture of your wife again.
Take it away.
Oh. So you are starting to remember, are you? Let's have it then. You were married and you left the city. What came after?
There was always a good deal of trouble about money. I let her have some.
Go on. She told me you were leaving the city.
No, we never left. We lived across the river. We never planned to go.
As you can't be lying, Louise must have been.
She could lie in five languages.
No. No, not Louise.
We knew two different people, and you're another like her. If you really are her sister.
You know that I am. Why did you marry her?
My mother told me to. She told me Louise would make a good wife.
I imagine the situation was more wrapped up than that. But thank you for giving me the bare bones of it. Tell me about the quarrel.
It was an accident.
I don't believe in that kind of accident.
It was the news about the baby. Coming on top of all the quarrels about money. I thought, you'll never have time for me now. It's not fair.
You great baby. Go on. How?
I had my hands on her neck. I squeezed.
So that's how you killed her?
Yes. Shall I be able to walk now?
Did you think you were going to get a reward?
But you said...
Murderer! From the moment Louise disappeared, I knew that harm had come to her. And from the moment I saw you on my doorstep, I knew the harm had come to her through you.
Harm had come to me, too.
So I kept you here to find out. And it wasn't difficult. In some ways, you've been an easy patient.
My mother.
Forget your mother. Forget the police. Forget the outside world. You're never going back.
Tired, Amabel, you're shouting.
I had a terrible dream. About next door.
Right,
it was burning right. Bright, a great fire.
Calm down, Amabel. The dream's over. What's happening? Everything's quiet. Even the typewriter stopped ages ago.
Perhaps it's all going to happen just around the corner.
You shouldn't talk that way.
But I make things happen.
Maybe.
Hasn't it happened to you? You think, I hate X. And then something bad happens. Not perhaps to X, but to someone else. And you think, that was me. But I didn't get on target.
That's just luck. Life, not you.
Sometimes I think that's what luck is. Someone pushing and someone else giving way.
You do believe in witches.
I just wanted action. Let something happen, I thought. Let there be a story. Supposing I just gave things a push.
You know the police have found my sister's body. You remember burying her, I suppose?
No. No, she wasn't buried. Just laid away.
So you do remember?
No. More as if I'd been told. I wish the police had found me before you did.
Yes, you're quite right to wish that they had. They would only help you to a few years in prison. My plans for you are more fundamental.
I think I'd like to make a telephone call.
Well, this once you can't. All these days you've been free to call the police, and now you can't. I told you this competition had a closing date. You've passed it.
You can't keep me a prisoner. Not here. I'll shout and scream and make myself heard.
I think you will. But that will come later. I'd better tell you your name before it's too late for names. Edward Lang. That was the name of the man Louise said she was marrying. She gave me one look at his photograph. Handsome but weak, I said. Black Douglas was my joke when I met you. Louise only copied it. Put your hands behind your back. I don't want to see them.
Are you frightened of me?
Are you frightened of me? Are we frightened of each other?
What are you going to do with me?
Bring out your hands again. That's right. You're still under my control, aren't you? You haven't been much of a success as a man, have you? You look like a man, you talk like a man, but there's nothing inside. So what shall I make you?
Make me?
An idiot? A raving lunatic, or...
You couldn't.
Oh, yes, probably I could, with drugs.
They'd wear off. I'd cry for help.
Of course. But think what it would be like before they did. And if I were careless, over-enthusiastic, let's say, the drugs might do permanent damage to the brain. Or shall I alter you physically?
Drugs can't do that.
Oh, no, not really, of course. But I could make you think that they have.
You have absolutely corrupted me.
Well, something has. Let's not say what.
And I loved you. I felt love. The person who felt love was good.
Sad, sad, sad.
You were jealous. You were jealous of your sister. You like her husband too much. That's what this has all been about. That's what's been eating you. You're more lost than I am.
No, no.
Is it possible you could have made me remember what I didn't do? Could you do that for me? If that's true, then you've not only corrupted me, you've lost me as well. I shall have to look for myself.
It might be a monotonous task. I can see you reaching for your stick. What's on your mind? If you tap with that magic wand, will your fairy godmother appear? Will she? She will, won't she? Here, let me try. Give it to me.
What a noisy girl you are.
Why did you come?
You called me a long while ago. You called me and I came.
I thought you couldn't manage the stairs.
It's not easy. Nice place you've made up here.
You've been here before.
I don't deny it.
When I was out.
I don't deny that either.
And what about you, brother-in-law? Aren't you going to say anything?
Oh, leave him alone to think his thoughts. Don't interrupt him. Haven't you got a television set? He could watch that.
It's the middle of the night.
We could turn him to look at it all the same. I don't suppose he'd notice very much.
I don't think you like him a lot.
Look at him sitting there. I don't know what we're going to do with you. I really don't.
I have some ideas.
I don't know what we're going to do with you.
Look at you both. I don't see there's much you can do.
You're a bad judge of the situation. And have been for some time, isn't she, son?
Now you've given us away, mother.
You're not very bright, son. She knew already.
So that's why you came here in the first place. Looking for your mother.
I just had the address in my mind. I don't know who I was looking for.
You don't have to answer my questions, you know. There was nothing in the injection I gave you but plain water.
He can't help himself. My goodness, I should think you could see that. I was never more glad in my life when a nice girl like your sister took him over and married him. He's always been attractive to women, worse luck.
I suppose you know he's a murderer. He killed her.
More fool her to let him. You've got to look out for yourself in this world. Still, he's my responsibility and I shall shoulder him. He must have telepathy, my dear. I was looking for him and you had him.
My God. I hate you both.
I'm afraid you do. I accept it.
He's not going to hate me and get away with it. You're just like your sister. Both of you ready to lie down and die. It's what you want, I believe.
I can help you, Black.
I can't forget what you said you'd do to me.
I could do nothing to you if you were strong and good in your own right.
Who's that strong and good?
I believe you're as much a victim as my sister.
That sort of talk. Don't listen to her.
I need to help you. What you must do now is go to the police and tell them everything. I'll go with you.
She means to get you one way if she can't get another.
It's urgently necessary that you get treatment. If you go off with your mother now, you'll never be a whole man again.
You can leave him to me. There are other doctors, other countries.
It's up to you, Black.
She's trying to divide us.
You're already divided. Oh. You, Black, you ought to ask yourself exactly who she's trying to protect. You killed my sister, but afterwards she knew all about it. She was helping you dispose of the body. No wonder you lost your memory. The police are going to ask who had the key to that basement where my sister was found. They can trace you both.
I took the lease 2 years ago for my business and under another name. Won't be easy to trace me or him. We can leave here. No one will go looking for us. I'm all packed and ready to go.
Tell your mother to go away. If you wish to do what is right, then tell your mother to go away. Don't try and get up. Sit quite still. Sit still.
You stand up. I'm telling you to stand up.
I am standing, Mother.
I told you so. At heart, he's all my boy. You don't look so pretty now, my dear. But you look like your sister. Remarkable. I have to protect us. I have to protect us.
You see that? What can you do?
Everyone must follow their own trade. You did. You were a witch doctor. I am a magician. I shall make you disappear.
You're James Glynn, aren't you? What are you doing sitting outside Dr. Hilton's room? You waiting for her? Oh, it's all right. I know you're not speaking. And by the look of you, you've been waiting for a long time. So have I. I don't think she's coming. Look, she wouldn't let you down if she could help it. What's that, boy? You crying? I think I feel like crying myself. Look, I don't like to think of you sitting there alone. I've just had someone bring me some coffee. I think there are some biscuits, too. Why don't you come along and have some? Oh, good, you're coming. Come along. Here you go. Here you are. Chocolate biscuits today. Sometimes it's plain biscuits and sometimes chocolate. Oh, I don't know how they work it out. No, thank you. To tell you the truth, I don't like biscuits. Glad to have you eat them. You know, James, I'm coming round to your point of view. Speech lets you down. You talk and talk and think you know everything. About a person, I mean. Or life. Your own life. And suddenly you know nothing. A big hole opens up in front of you and 10 to 1 you fall in. If you're lucky, you hang on to the sides and wonder what went wrong. You're hanging on to the sides of your hole right now, aren't you? And I'm falling. I'm still falling. I don't know where I'll land. I've been talking to Nell for weeks and weeks, thinking she was hearing me. And all the time she had this hole all ready and dug for me to fall in. Oh, if I had your courage, boy, I'd take your way out. As you get older, you lose courage. You go on falling. Have another biscuit. Good.
Charlotte. Charlotte, can you hear me?
I'm tired tonight. I want to go to sleep.
Scared. Wish our parents had come back. They're late. I can hear someone in the garden. The house next door is all dark.
What? They're asleep. You go to sleep.
It's all wrong.
Good night.
Charlotte, there's a man down there in the garden. No, I'm going down.
Oh, you mustn't.
I'm going.
Oh, all right, wait. I'm coming.
Gosh, it's dark down here. There's no one here. Let's go back.
He's over there, by the hedge outside Mrs. Richards' window.
Oh, stay away, Amabel.
Who are you? Man, who are you?
You're the fat one. I've seen you.
Have you? Who are you? What are you doing in the garden?
I wanted you to help me. I called to you once. Well, it's too late now. I've strangled her.
What?
Don't worry. I won't strangle you. I don't strangle little girls. No, don't run away. Please. Don't go. I'm trying to confess. Properly this time, to someone in the outside world. This is outside, isn't it?
Outside what?
Just outside. Free. Like other people. I held out for a long while against strangling her. I tried not to do it. I didn't want to. But she made me. I've been sitting up there all day, wondering what to do.
It's no good asking me. I'm frightened.
It is frightening. Even when you try to forget, even when you have forgotten, you're still frightened deep down. I know. And you never forget you've been frightened. That's the other thing. What? You won't forget you've been frightened.
No, I won't.
I love you.
But you can't. You've only just met me.
Hmm? No, not you. Well, why don't you run away? Go on. Well, you want to, don't you? Well, why don't you?
I can't. My legs won't move.
What? You too? Oh. It happens to everybody. Come on. Come on. You lean on me. And I'll lean on you. We'll go to the police station together.
Look, the house. Well, it's on fire. The house is burning. The house is burning.
Is it? Well, it's about time. You know, I began to think it never would. Come on. You lean on me. That's right.
Inspector! They haven't found her yet, Jordan. Wait. They're bringing someone out now. Hang on.
Move aside there. Come on. Thank you. Take me over the stretcher.
Now, come and have a look.
No, I don't recognize her. She's still breathing. Bad pulse, though. Old, long, gray hair. Dark, puffy skin. No, this must be Mrs. Richard. I didn't know Mrs. Richard was so old. Where's Nell? Why don't they find her?
Over here, we've got an olive.
They found someone else.
Thank you, please. Make way.
Another woman must be Nell.
Let me see. It looks as though she'd been strangled. Will you look, please, Doctor? She will have to be identified.
That's Mrs. Richard. I recognize her now. Two old women.
Then who's the other woman?
Let me look again. Gray hair, dark, puffy skin. But the hands. Abel, look at the hands. The hands are young. Nell, what have they done to you? Nell, my darling, wake up and come back to me. Nell, how are you?
Feeling more myself.
Looking it, too. The gray dye in the hair is wearing out already.
The nurse washed it. It helped a bit. I have to grow out, really, though. Or I could get a wig. My face is better, too. I don't know how Mrs. Richer made her transformation. I was unconscious. She knocked me out with that injection of hers. She was a genius as a beautician, that woman. Only it wasn't beauty she was giving me.
They think she'd been on the stage at one time, before she started out as a maker of beauty products. She had lots of careers, all rather shady. But they're slowly finding out bits about her.
She wasn't a stable person.
She didn't deserve her own son to strangle her. Still, they weren't the only ones. You remember Sidney Fox and his mother? They were a pair like these two.
How's Amabel?
Oh, back on form. Writing a poem about it. You owe her a lot.
She's so young. She can put things behind her. A poem can do it for her. Not for me. I behaved so badly. I didn't use drugs improperly on him. In a way, I helped him, but I wanted to hurt and frighten him. Where is he now?
In hospital. I suppose there'll be a trial.
He was a weak psycho, but he was attractive to women. It's happened before in the history of crime and marriage.
Don't dwell on it, Nell.
No. That's bad advice. I must dwell on it. I feel now that I must have been mad. Can you have a little temporary madness that clears away forever?
Well, don't cry.
It's with shame, not sorrow. You understand, I was convinced he knew all about Louise's disappearance.
Yes.
At first, I just wanted to know. I wanted to dig out the knowledge that he had inside him. But afterwards, as I began to get more and more suspicious, I wanted to punish him. He knew it too. I wanted to contrive pain. Can you imagine me like that?
You didn't know that Nell, did you? I felt like the Wicked Witch.
I've always thought that the witch was wicked because she lived so much alone. She couldn't support her loneliness. And that was your trouble, my poor Nell. When you were alone after Louise had gone, you began to be afraid. I don't know quite what of. Everyone has their own private set of fears.
I was afraid of growing old and plain and unloved.
Oh.
Louise was always the pretty one. I was never as pretty as Louise. Oh,
prettier, much prettier. But I understand. Do you see now that you were really punishing your brother-in-law for taking Louise away from you and turning you into a witch? He was weak and wicked and frightened, and you became strong and wicked and frightened. But in the end, he set you free again, Nell, which you couldn't have done for him. I think he did it deliberately. He killed his mother to set you free. You've turned back into my Nell again.
I wish I could believe that.
You were a witch with him. You could never be a witch with me. I'm not the sort of person who makes witches.
Jordan, what do you think Mrs. Ritchie meant to do with me after she disguised me?
Oh, it's all such a fantasy. Being Mrs. Ritchie, perhaps she had some plans, some means of smuggling you out of the country, or perhaps she just meant to kill you and hope you remained unidentified. But anyway, she's dead.
And so's Louise.
No. Oh, Nell. Come on. Nell, darling.
It's no good. I've done things that alter me and make me a different person. The Nell you knew is dead. She killed herself.
Nell, come back to life.
I would do it for you, Jordan, if I could.
Well, don't do it for me. Do it for someone else. There's a boy I met last week who wants to learn how to speak.
Would that be so wonderful for him? Don't you think he might not be better without taking it up again? He thought so once.
No. This boy wants to learn to speak. He was crying for you. He's been on the outside looking in. Now he wants to join us.
Are we worth joining? Look at Mrs. Ritchie and her son. Look at me.
It's for him to choose. He has a right to ask for help.
Jordan. Hold my hand.
There. Not Nell alone anymore. Never alone anymore.
That was Nell Alone by Jenny Melville. The cast was as follows. Nell Shirley Kane, Charlotte Sean Davis, Amabel Margaret Robertson, Mrs. Ritchie Irene Prader, Black Douglas Emrys James, Dr. Jordan Michael Harbour, and Inspector Abel Ralph Truman. The producer was Lorraine Davis.